Malcolm here, and welcome. Welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 86. And today we're on to part three of a four-part series on different words that the New Testament uses to describe preaching. Now, in the last two episodes, we've looked at caruso and parakaleo. And this week, a third word, pietho, P-E-I-T-H-O, pietho. But before we get into it, I must say a couple of hellos. Hello to Karen, who I bumped into yesterday. It's lovely to see you. Thank you for watching these videos all the way from Singapore. And also hello to TJ and Sonia and your ministry there in Jakarta, Indonesia, who I also heard yesterday speaking to you that you also watch these recordings. So thank you for doing that. And please send me your questions and comments. I'd love to know what you need in those parts of the world. Anyway, back to today. Pietho, what's this all about? This is a word that appears 69 times in 52 verses in the New Testament, mostly in the book of Acts. In fact, 23 of those are in the book of Acts. It's a word that's very important in the book of Acts, and particularly in the life of Paul. And we're going to look at his life or some of his preaching and what we learn about this important word from his speaking in Acts chapter 17. I don't know about you, but persuasion is very important. Knowing how to persuade people well without manipulating them, is a very important speaking skill. Now, what we see in the New Testament is the word pietho is sometimes translated differently from the word persuade. It can mean to persuade. This is according to the Mounts Greek Dictionary. To seek to persuade, to endeavor to convince of something, to influence by persuasion, to incite, a strong word there, to instigate. Sometimes it can also mean to appease or to quieten, to strive to conciliate, to aspire to the favor of, to pacify, to conciliate, and I like this, to win over. And isn't that what we're trying to do? And we preach and teach the gospel, to win people over, not just at our point of view, but what we believe is correct, what Jesus is teaching, what God is saying to people. We want to persuade people to win them over to God's perspective. So we're going to talk a bit about that today. Pietho. Some references. Acts chapter 17, verse 4, we'll look at more in a minute, but some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas. So Paul and Silas did a good job persuading them. Acts 18, verse 4. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greek. So when Luke writes about Paul's preaching, he writes about it being an exercise in persuasion. That's how Luke saw Paul's preaching. Acts 19, verse 8. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. In chapter 19, again, verse 26. And you see and hear how this fellow Paul has convinced, and the word convinced there is pietho, persuaded, and led astray large numbers of people here in Ephesus and in practically the whole province of Asia. So even his opponents understood that Paul was a great persuader. And in Acts 26, verse 28, then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to become a Christian? And again, the person listening in this case, in this occasion, Agrippa, the person listening to Paul, thought that what if he asked someone asked him, what do you think Paul was trying to do? He'd say, well, Paul was trying to persuade me to become a Christian. So persuasion is a very important part of what we are and do as preachers and teachers of the gospel, whether it's one-to-one or to a group or a crowd. So let's talk about three aspects of persuasion practicals that I can see here in Acts chapter 17. So we're going to take our cue from Acts 17. Let's have a read of that passage here where Paul is in action. And let's read verse 1. Acts 17, verse 1. When Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. Very important passage here in this section, and the consequences that follow we'll look at in a moment. Paul was persuading people. They knew that he was trying to persuade them, and indeed some were persuaded. So what do we learn from this? Three things I'd like to point out, and then I'd like to get your feedback as to what you see as to being a healthy way of persuading people by the way that we speak and what we say. So the first thing is this. If you're going to persuade people, firstly, you need to understand of what do your audience need persuading. Now, there's probably a better way to say that in terms of grammar and wording, but of what do your audience need persuading? If we don't know what our audience need persuading of, then we're not going to do a good job persuading them, because we're going to be laying out our arguments and our ideas and our points and our opinions on something that we believe is important. But if it's not important to them, they're not going to be persuaded. And sometimes I think in my own preaching, and maybe you've experienced this too, you feel like you've made a great point. You've been persuasive in your own mind. You've been clear. You've been compelling. You feel like you communicated the gospel really well. And then there was not much response, or people said, well, that was nice, which is possibly the worst thing possible anybody can say. Or they just have a bored look when you're preaching and teaching, and you wonder why, and you think people aren't open, they're not responsive, but maybe it's simply because you're trying to persuade them of something that they're not interested in. Do we know what the people need, or people want to be persuaded of, or need to be persuaded of? Do we know what the needs are in our congregation, and more particularly, of the people who come and don't yet know about Jesus, who don't yet know about God, who don't understand the gospel? They are the people we need to understand in terms of what they need to be persuaded of. What do they need? Do they need to be persuaded that the Bible is reliable? Some cultures, that would be more of an issue than others. Do they need to be persuaded that faith in the supernatural is reasonable as opposed to unreasonable? Do they need to be persuaded that the spiritual side of life is worth exploring? Often find that's more the case with young people, teenagers and university students. They may not think it's worth it, or maybe not the right time in life to pursue and to explore the spiritual side of life. But what is it that your group, your audience, the opportunity God has given you, what are those people, what do they need? What do they need to be persuaded of? What do they want to be persuaded of? What do they need from you? That's the first thing we need to understand. Paul knew this, because when he went into Thessalonica, where did he go? He went to the synagogue, and he knew what they needed to be persuaded of. He went to the right place, the synagogue, and he used the right resources. It says there that he reasoned with them, this is Jewish people, from the scriptures. He used the right resource, because he knew that was the right resource for them. Obviously, we should always use the Bible, but in some cultures and situations, we might need to use more local literature, other books, other sources of information might help. Science textbooks can be useful for certain audiences. Are you using the right resources? Because you understand what your audience needs to be persuaded of. So that's the first thing. Think about your audience. The second thing is this. Do you display conviction? If you want to persuade people of anything, you've got to display conviction. It's got to matter to us. It's got to be something that is important to us if we're going to persuade other people that it will be important to them. The message of the good news of the gospel must be good news to you and I. If it's not really good news to you and me, then how are we going to persuade anybody else it's going to be good news for them? It's not that everything in our lives has to be perfect, because it never will. Our marriage doesn't have to be perfect. Our children don't have to be. Our own walk with God doesn't have to be perfect. But it's got to be real. It's got to be meaningful. It's got to be something that really is in our heart if we're going to be able to persuade other people. So do you really have conviction? We see this in Paul in Acts 7 and verse 3. He persuades some, a large number of God-fearing Greeks, quite a few prominent women in verse 4. But then what else happens? In verse 5, other Jews were jealous. They rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot. And you can read the rest of that paragraph to see what else goes on right here. Now, I'm going to say this. If Paul's persuasive preaching was enough to start a riot, I think they must have concluded that he meant what he said, that it really mattered to him. And let's face it, he's spending not just an hour or two doing this. It says that he spent 3 Sabbath days. That's 3 weeks of Sabbath days in the synagogue, persuading, teaching, preaching, doing his best to tell other people that this message about the Messiah is true. So it was really on his heart. The riot proves it. I'm not suggesting you preach in such a way as to try and deliberately provoke a riot. But what I am asking and thinking about and suggesting is that our preaching must come from the heart if it's going to have an impact and be persuasive. Is what you're preaching and teaching really coming from your own heart, your own convictions? That's number two. If we're going to be persuasive, firstly, we need to know what our audience needs persuading of. Number two, if we're going to be persuasive, we need to display conviction. And thirdly, we need to take people from problem to solution. From problem to solution. Persuasive preaching and teaching takes us from a place of confusion to clarity, of problem to solution, of obstacle to opportunity. And I think this is what great preaching does. And we see that a lot with the teaching of Jesus. Although the word pietho isn't used of Jesus specifically, we see him displaying this. He's very persuasive, isn't he? And he often will take people from a place of confusion to clarity. This is what we see Paul doing here also in Acts chapter 17, verse 3, when he talks about the suffering Messiah, which must have been a difficult concept for people to understand. But they had some misunderstandings about the Messiah. He was trying to clarify things for them. And that's why I think Luke records this particular part of Paul's message, where he says he was explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer. This was the stumbling block to so many of his Jewish audience. The Messiah had to suffer? Surely no, the Messiah was going to come and be a military general and kick out the Romans and reestablish Israel in the way that we saw under King David. But no, he was to be a suffering Messiah and rise from the dead. And of course, the suffering Messiah bit was a bit of a problem. But the rising from the dead, okay, here's a problem, suffering Messiah, but it's the right teaching. And he used the Old Testament, as we would view it, the Old Testament, the law, the Torah, to explain that this really was the identity of the Messiah and his calling. But it doesn't end with the suffering. It goes on to the rising from the dead. And so then he would, of course, talk about the risen Jesus who he had met on the road to Damascus. So he goes from, he redefines or re-explains what they need to understand about the Messiah, creates, in a sense, that problem, but then takes them through to a solution. He rose from the dead. And of course, this is a pithy account here in Acts 17, so we don't have all the details of exactly what he said and how he did that. But you can see the progression from the problem to the solution, from difficulty to faith and to hope, really. He's giving them hope. There's something exciting here I want to tell you more about. And isn't that often where we go with something that's exciting? If we understand how exciting it is, then, tell me more. And we have a sense of hope, something positive is coming. And so Paul preached a very positive message here, which he goes is very persuasive. So three things we see here about persuasive preaching in Paul. Firstly, we need to consider, of what do our audience need persuading? Secondly, do we display conviction in our preaching and teaching? And thirdly, are we taking people from problem to solution, from sin to redemption, from barrier between us and God to a clear conscience and having a relationship with God that begins now and lasts forever, and so on? So some things to think about there. In summary, I would say we have an amazing resource in the Bible and examples from Paul and Jesus of greatly persuasive preachers and teachers. I'd encourage you to study the preaching and teaching of Paul and Jesus and others for the way in which they persuaded people. What was it about them and the way they preached and taught that made them so persuasive and so compelling in what they preached and taught and ended up having such an impact on so many people in their day? We can have that same impact because we have the Holy Spirit. Let's persuade people well. So what are your ideas? I'd be very interested. What have I left out? I've only given us three out of many possible characteristics of persuasive speaking. So what do you find is persuasive? When you're listening to somebody and you're evaluating what they're saying, what is it about what they say and how they say it that makes you think, I'm persuaded by that point, I'm persuaded by that argument? Or perhaps conversely, what have you seen in preaching and teaching that is actually the opposite, that turns you away and thinks, nope, you're not making a compelling argument, you're not making a persuasive argument, I'm not going to go with you on that? What have you seen? And what have I missed out that you think will be useful for me and others to know about what it takes to be persuasive? Not manipulative, but persuasive. So leave a comment anywhere you hear or see this recording. Leave it now. Don't wait. Do it now, because then you won't forget if you do it straight away. What struck you the most about what we talked about today? And if I could ask one favor, please pass this on to one other person so that they may benefit and all of us may benefit from their wisdom. We learn best when we learn in community. So until the next time, I hope you have a wonderful week, a terrific Tuesday, and God bless.